Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome. We're here tonight with Dr. Pat Allen, and we are going to talk about dreams, what they mean, how they work, and what's going on with all of that. Dr. Allen, you're on the air.
I'm glad to be on the air, and you're going to do a dream, right?
Yes, I'm going to do a dream. I have a couple of questions first. One, I want to ask you about dreams. When we're dreaming, sometimes they seem frightening while we're sleeping. What does that mean?
Well, your subconscious, 90% of our our beingness is unconscious, and it runs our life. 10%, if we're really working on it, we're conscious of who we are and what we're doing. And what goes down into this subconscious is the images, the pictures, the words that we experience, and they can be scary. But what I want to stress now and over again is I have been in this business over 40 years, and I've read, I'm a transactional analyst, and I like Alfred Korzybski's General Semantics. I love Eric Byrne and all his TA, but I really, really like Carl Jung.
Okay.
And, yeah. And that whole system of imagery, for example, you can have scary images that your subconscious puts together in a diorama or some kind of movie.
Right.
And they can be scary, but the messages that the dream gives are always, always to bring you to consciousness. It's like nature, reality, spirituality, the whole business, we are built to become the best version of us that we can be on this planet during this time.
Right.
So the problem with dreams, though, is it's hard to, I don't think you can read your own. You know, Carl Jung, a few years ago, his family let his Red Book come out and be published, but there was rumor that they didn't want it to come out for a number of years because he did so much of his own dream work,
right,
dream analysis, that it got so deep and dark,
right,
that he finally, in the middle of a sentence, shut the manuscript.
Wow.
Because you need somebody to feed back to you.
Like you were saying.
A reader.
You said before.
Yeah.
It's a reflection. So somebody is able to look in that glass.
Right.
And see something more clearly.
Absolutely.
Maybe we're fogged because we are experiencing it directly. So
It's too scary. We cannot read our own dreams. You can't.
So there's, Jung has classic symbolism, classic symbols. And of course, there's book after book after book of,
yes,
of, because people are fascinated by this. And I'm fascinated by it because I'm a lucid dreamer. Oftentimes, I will be dreaming and I simply know that I am. And
yes,
I will say to myself, this is a strange dream, even within the dream.
I know.
And then when I wake up, I'm clearly cognizant that I was dreaming and that I knew that I was dreaming.
There's a form of therapy that's called Sonoy dream work, where you get into your dreams and rewrite them so that you're basically literally working through your symbolism in order to get the message. And I like the book by John Sanford, Dreams. Anyway, I'm writing a book with Patricia Eltage, who happens to be a rather graduate student of my school, the Wan Institute, and we are doing a reading, how to read dreams. We're just starting it, so hopefully, God willing, it will come out, and then what I'm going to be talking about here and doing with you and your dream will be in a book that people can use.
Okay, so...
But then once again, I hope they have somebody to talk to.
Right, because that's part of working through what's going on inside, inside of your subconscious. And, why don't we start with my dream, and then we'll probably be having callers in a few minutes, but we'll start with mine.
Okay.
I am in a forest, and I hear water, and I go to the water. I walk to the water.
My pen is not working well.
Here's her pen.
Good.
Okay.
There we go.
I'm in a long dress, and it's black, and there are white flowers vined in my hair.
Wait a minute. Long dress. Long black dress?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, long black dress. And?
There's white flowers twined in my hair.
Okay.
And my dress is tattered at the bottom. My feet are bare. And when I come to the water, I cross the stones.
Wait a minute. Feet bare. I'm writing. I have to write down because I can't remember. Bare feet. Okay. And what did you say about your bare feet?
My dress is tattered on the bottom.
Yeah,
so
I got
you
that.
And I can see myself, but I know myself. I know as I'm looking down at myself, but I'm aware.
In the water?
Yes, that I'm aware of myself. So I cross the stone path.
Okay.
And I walk along the opposite side of the bank until I come to a small house.
Wait a minute. That's the stone path and...
I cross the water on the stone path.
Cross water, okay.
I'm on the opposite bank and I see a small house.
Mm-hmm.
There's smoke coming from the chimney.
Okay.
And I go to the door. There's a symbol carved in the door. And the same symbol carved in the door is carved in the palm of my hand. It matches.
Which hand?
My right hand.
Okay.
So before I don't knock, I put my hand with the symbol up to the symbol, and the door opens.
Right.
And inside...
So the symbol on your hand opens the door.
It's the key, right. It's the key. And when I enter... There are two people there.
Okay.
My grandmothers.
Open. And two people. Who are they?
Both my maternal and my paternal grandmother.
Grandmothers.
Yes, both of them are there.
All right.
And they don't speak, and they tell me not to.
You can't speak either?
No, they tell me with their mind, to my mind, don't speak because they'll hear you.
They'll hear you.
They will hear you. They're sitting at a small table, and there's three cups. They know
I... Wait a minute. Okay. Go that fast. Right. They will hear you, and there's what?
They're sitting at a table. There's three cups and a pot of tea. They know I'm coming. They knew that I was going to come.
Okay.
And they pour the tea, and they tell me to sit down, and we drink. And then my grandmother...
Which one?
My mother's mother picks up the cup after my tea is gone, and she turns it and shows me the leaves.
Empty cup?
Yes, just leaves left in the bottom.
One leaf?
Seven.
Seven leaves. All right.
And then she, with her mind, says to me, look in the cup. The answer is here. you know the answer. And then my other grandmother...
Wait a minute. Look in the cup. All right.
She, my other grandmother...
My father's mother. Dad, mom.
Yes. She says, you have to go now. They know you're here. And she says, don't take the same path back. And...
Okay.
Then I'm outside.
Don't take same path. And you're where?
I'm back outside.
All right.
And I walk into the trees. They're willows. And that's when I wake up.
Okay. Now, we dream on three levels.
Okay.
We dream of things, like houses are things and rocks are things.
Right.
Or we dream of nature, animals, trees. And the highest, most conscious level of dreams are when we dream of people.
Okay.
See, because it's the same as stroke systems.
Okay.
Addicts use alcohol, food as thing strokes.
Okay, I get that.
And people, we know what comfort dogs and comfort cats.
And right.
Animals, plants. And we know that people either bring us pain or they bring us pleasure.
Okay,
all
yes.
All right, so, and they're doing things in the dreams, and I'll just read your dream.
Okay.
Period. Okay, now a forest.
Yes.
A forest is a system of trees that can be either protecting where you can hide, or they can be walls that block you from something.
Right.
But they are living structures.
Yes.
Okay. So, but they're by water.
Yes.
It's a water stream.
It is a stream. It's a cool, clear, beautiful stream. And I hear it before I see it. And I go to it on purpose.
Okay. Well, whether we like it or not, our first home was the amniotic fluid inside of Mama's womb.
Right.
So whenever we dream, in the way I see it, whenever we dream of water, we're dreaming of sensuousness and sexuality, because that ideal, our brain is reptilian, that's reptiles.
Right.
Limbic monkeys.
Right.
Neanderthals or Cro-Magnon, chimpanzees or rhesus monkeys.
Right.
And then, of course, people. And there's male people and female people.
Right.
Okay. So you're going through the, the world of trees to get to the water.
Right.
The obstacles going to the water. You're in a long black dress. Now, clothes, to me, represent a persona image.
Okay.
If you're wearing,
I can see that,
cowboy boots and cowboy, you know, clothes.
Right.
Or you're wearing military, or you're dressed as a nun or a priest.
Right. It's a representation of that.
So this long black dress. Now, why black? What does black mean? Black is all the chakra colors.
Oh, okay.
You know, from head to toe.
Right.
It's interesting because in the East, white is a non-color of grief.
Right.
In the West, it's black.
Right.
So in the East, it's the absence of energy.
Right.
In the West, it's the compilation of all the energy, but not with the dead body.
Right.
So here you are dressed in your long black dress. You have white flowers. There's the flowers, like
yes.
the trees. Now, trees are either blocking you, protecting you.
Right.
Flowers, I always say men are bricks and women are flowers.
Right.
You know, bricks without flowers are kind of boring.
Yeah.
And flowers without bricks are not very protected.
Right, right. So they're vulnerable.
That's right. So white flowers are basically living plants.
Yes.
That are decorating.
Yes,
your hair.
They're all vined in my hair, like somebody worked a long time to put them
yes.
in. And it's beautiful, and I see myself in the water.
Right. You're reflecting yourself in the sensuousness of the water mirroring back to you. Okay. Your feet are bare.
Yes.
Now, feet are our connections. You know, reflexology
yes.
is so good for our humanization. In other words, if you've got a crying baby,
right.
the mouth, we know, the pacifiers and the bottles and the breast.
Right.
But the feet, foot rubs, reflexology is so significantly impacting as a comfort technique.
Yes.
So you're in bare feet, which means you're not only in contact with reality.
Okay.
You're not wearing boots. You're not in a tank.
You
right. see, the higher up you
I'm
go,
not
insula- the less...
I'm not insulated from the earth. I'm connecting.
You're connected to the earth.
Okay.
All right, with your bare feet. Okay, and you look at yourself in the water. You cross the stone path.
Yes.
Now, stones are cobblestones, or they don't necessarily have to be cobblestones.
Right.
But they're not mud. They're
right.
not quicksand. You know, I maintain when I do my work as a therapist that if you put your bare feet in sand,
right.
water,
right.
grass,
yes.
and mud,
uh-huh.
It's hard to stay upset. Because
right.
you're grounding and hugging a tree. You know the joke about hugging
tree huggers, right?
Tree
yeah.
huggers. Okay.
These are smooth, cool river stones.
Right. So you cross over the path and you see a house.
Yes.
Now, I didn't ask you what style of house it was. Was it a thatched house? Was it a brick house? What kind of a house was it?
It is a small wooden cottage type house. Yes.
An earthy house.
Like a witch's house. Was like Hansel and Gretel's witch type house.
Okay. It's a fairy tale house.
It is.
Okay.
But it's not a bright, shiny one. It's more darker and earthier.
Okay. And it has a chimney, which is letting go of smoke.
It is.
Now, I hate to mention it, but uh-huh. smoke is created with fire.
Yes.
So there's a fire somewhere in that house.
There is, in the hearth.
And there's a signal being shown coming out of the chimney.
Yes.
All right?
I can there's smell it in the dream. I can smell it.
I accept that.
Okay.
All right. There is a door.
Yes.
Now, interesting in a dream... You know, there's a test that John C. Buck created for dealing with children that are 3 years old.
Yes.
When they don't have really good control over words.
Right.
We have them draw a picture of a house.
Right.
A tree.
Yes.
And the people that might live. House, tree, people.
Okay.
And if we see them drawing a house with no doors, we could sense that that little person is blocking or, you know, withholding messages.
Right.
Either inside or outside.
Or outside, right.
And if the tree is a spindly little go-nowhere, it's not a very potent tree.
You right.
You don't want to count on it. So I just want you to know that you have a picture of a on your hand, what is the design? You have a...
It's right there. That's the symbol.
Oh, that's the symbol.
This one right here.
Okay.
It's sort of... I don't know what you would say that.
It looks... Well, the one on the left looks like a cross, and the one on the right looks like a flower.
Right.
So which one is on your hand?
This one is on my hand.
Which one? Oh, that one.
And this one's above the door? This one's on my hand, and it's also on the face of the door.
Okay, so All right, so you've got a flower one more time up on the top, and you've got an image. But the cross is symbolically, I mean, for many people on this planet,
yeah.
a symbol of the crucifixion.
Yes.
Okay, so we're crossing over, and your hand has this image on it.
Right.
But it opens the door.
Yes.
So what I'm hearing here is you have your dress on, but you say somewhere that your dress is tattered on the bottom.
Yes, the bottom is tattered.
Well, the way you tatter dresses is to drag them over rough ground.
Right.
So what I'm starting to picture
yes.
in this symbolic thing is you're opening the door into your house represents you.
Right.
Okay, your body.
Right.
Okay, your hand. Which hand was it?
My right hand.
Your right hand. Your right hand is your doing hand.
Okay.
Your right side of your brain controls the left side of your body.
Right.
And the left side of your brain, which is very yang.
Right.
Very action off. You know, right side brain is feelings. Left side is thinking.
Right.
So the left side of your brain is complementary to the right side of your body.
Right.
Okay. So we're talking about a doing dream.
Yes.
Not a feeling dream, a doing something dream.
Right.
And what this dream is talking about is being in contact with reality, but having to cross over the river, the stream, which represents sensual and sexuality.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
Yes, because, may I ask, have you had a stream crossing event? Do crossing the streams in your life indicating you're going through the travail of some process?
I am going through the travail of several processes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, all right, so you open the door, and guess who's in there? Two females. Now,
two females.
It's interesting. One more time, John Sanford wrote The Invisible Partners.
Oh, okay.
So it sounds like I'm doing commercials for John Sanford. But
I think we're okay.
This is... anyway, when you dream of women,
yes,
you're dreaming of the animus soul.
Yes.
The animus soul is doing good to feel good.
Feel good, right.
When you dream of men,
yes.
you're dreaming of the anima soul. It's Latin spelling for female love.
Right.
The soul of a man, and Emma Jung, Carl Jung's wife, wrote the book Anima Animus.
Oh, very, very interesting.
Yeah, so Carl Jung was very invested in the Chinese yin and yang, and so am I, because
yes.
I'm invested in him and carrying that particular yin and yang message.
Yes.
And I've got to recommend the book, The Yin and Yang Way of Life, by Dr. Kim and Dr. Lee.
Oh, okay.
Which really gets into the meanings and the energy flow.
Right.
So what I'm hearing is you've crossed the stream, you've opened the door with your crucifix and your flower.
Yes.
Message to be said there. And the door opens to two ladies.
Yes.
Which represent, and they're older ladies.
Yes.
They're grandmas.
Yes.
Do you see age has something to do? It's very interesting because Sigmund Freud believed he had his image, you know, he was very psychosexual.
Right.
Carl Jung had his Philemon,
right.
which was a male with wings.
Right.
An angel Philemon. But the male represents feelings. So what you're dreaming about is doing good, and you have the mother of your father and
yes.
the mother of your mother.
Yes.
So you've got two, what we call superegos.
Yes.
Representing.
Okay.
That are going to help you, hopefully, do good in your travail.
Yes, and they're both of them are gone and have been for many years.
Yep, but they're not gone.
Right.
No soul is out of existence,
right,
ever. You know, when we think of the beginning of mankind, and
yes,
we think of a gigantic expansion of matter and energy.
Right.
Okay, and I know that there's evolution and there's creation. I'm not going into a philosophical, spiritual event.
We'll do
all
that
I
at dinner is, one night.
All I know is that females represent either the superego, ego, or id, your little kid inside, the parent, adult, child, and TA.
Right.
And yours are superegos, but they're representing doing good.
Yes.
Okay. So there they are, the two. They're saying, don't speak. Now, interestingly, speaking is basically the verbalization. We human beings did not learn to speak until after the Ice Age, which
right,
was 45 to 65,000 years. And guess which sex created words?
Females.
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 And the reason was because with the Cro-Magnons, they got left behind at the campsite.
Right.
You see? And there's an awesome movie, Quest for Fire.
Fire, yes, it is.
Which is all about mankind going from Neanderthal to Cro-Magnon to being human.
Right.
Do you see? So what you're dreaming of here is these two people are basically here saying, please go back to nature. Don't use words.
Okay.
Go with energy. And I want to remind the audience that we've just come up with a wonderful experiment, the Higgs boson, separation of energy from matter. And there's a movie out there. I saw the movie.
Yes.
On the particle theory. But this is, we used to not, when I was a girl, which was a long time ago, we could only take pictures of the neutrino trail.
Right.
You see?
Yes.
Now we are separating the energy in the Higgs boson,
yes,
particles and causing us to realize that energy, just like the sperm cell brings the energy.
Right.
And the egg brings the matter.
Right.
The yin and the yang.
Right.
So in the yin and yang picture, the yin is pictured as black.
Right.
With a white animus.
Right.
Circle inside.
Circle inside.
And the yang energy is white.
With the black.
With the black inside, which is the energy, which is not matter-oriented.
Right.
So, interesting, the original 2,000 years ago yin and yang is now being demonstrated in the Higgs boson.
All this
thousands
stuff comes
of
years
together.
Later, right.
But here we have two females representing the superego.
Right.
Right? And they're saying, don't talk.
Right, don't speak.
Just exchange energy.
Right.
Kinesiology. Duke University.
Oh, yeah.
Did, and maybe still does, studies the energy in a plant. If you tear a leaf in a plant and you kinesiologically take the picture,
with the Kirlian photography.
Right. You will still see the edges of the leaf.
And did you see the study they did with the limb removal? And they took the pictures and the image where the leg was exists, as if they're taking a picture of the soul.
Yes, I understand. And so these ladies are saying, don't talk. Right?
Right.
There's a wonderful movie out there called What the Bleep Do We Know? And it's all about what we're talking about.
Right.
So what they're saying is don't use words. Go with energy.
Okay.
Go with energy. Okay. And then I refer you back to Dr. Lee's and Dr. Kim's, the yin and yang way of life.
Right.
Okay. So don't speak, don't speak. They will hear you. Who is they?
Who are they? That was one of the things.
Your spirit guides.
Ah, okay.
That now I'm going to tell you where they, that you know what neurotransmitters are.
Yes, yes,
I do. Dopamine, serotonin,
right.
Norepinephrine. Dopamine is a high, dopamine is a high, norepinephrine is a depressing.
Right.
And serotonin is a tranquilizing that we release every night.
Right.
If we're genetically healthy.
Right.
Okay. So what I'm saying here is the energy that is being transmitted through space.
Right.
Do you see?
Yeah.
Is basically not speaking. And those spirit guides, see, I choose to believe that at the creation of man, I'm going to tell a Pat Allen type joke.
I like that. Go for it.
One thing God didn't have was TV.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And he was lonely.
Yes, I think he was.
And I think we are his ant farm.
I think a lot of people think that.
What that means is by expanding matter.
Yes.
Into reality, and we are part of it. We don't know how many universes are out there and how many different versions of people like people.
Right.
We'll call them people, but they may not look like us. They may be totally different with different things.
Right.
Once you combine energy, which is the sperm cell, and you combine matter, you're creating an entity.
Okay.
You see?
Yes.
And so what your grandmas are saying, you don't need to use words.
Okay.
Energy will get the job done.
Okay.
Women live by the energy of implicit feelings.
Okay.
There are more neurotransmitters in the gut than the brain.
That's why a lot of times I think, when somebody says it's a gut instinct.
Actually, eventually, psychiatrists are not going to start. They're not going to be talking to us about what we're thinking. They're going to be purely talking to us about intuition, which is a man's favorite game.
Right.
Do you see? But instinct. There are less neurotransmitters in the brain than the body. The problem, though, is that men, maleness, men's bodies.
Right.
Men are very uncomfortable with the illogic of females.
Right.
Because we say, I don't know why I don't feel good about this or that, but I don't feel good, and I cannot speak and explain it.
Right. I can't pinpoint it or articulate it.
I can't articulate it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I don't want it. Here's what I maintain. When women are going through trials and tribulations,
yes,
like yourself,
yes,
okay, do you want to name one of your trials?
I don't know if I would exactly call it a trial, but it's a new friendship. It's a new relationship.
It's a new relationship mm-hmm. with a woman.
No.
Or a man.
With a man.
Okay. Although, if it were a lesbian relationship,
uh-huh.
the energy would have to be complementary as well, yin
right.
and yang.
Right.
Do you see what
yes,
I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So what you're saying is, there's the water, the sensual and sexual.
Right.
And look what grandma says. Okay. You don't have to speak. They, your spirit guides, plus
right.
whoever you're relating to, they will hear you. They know what you're thinking.
Right.
You're all sitting at a table. There are three cups, right?
Yes.
A pot of tea. And they know you came. They knew you were coming.
They did.
Because you needed to be in touch with your instinct.
Right.
Do you see?
The inside of me, inside my house.
Of you. That's exactly right. And the women represent doing what's right.
So they reside there.
Yes.
Okay.
But tea.
Yes.
Did you know the latest idea of why the English love black tea?
No, why?
Because we're finding it has an extremely stimulating brain effect.
Ah.
I myself have taken up black tea, not green tea, black tea, on behalf of my brain.
These women.
And you know what? I don't drink coffee, so right. It's not caffeine.
No, these women, these two women in particular in my life, were brewing tea from leaves since I was standing at their apron strings. And, yeah, so it's definitely black tea. You can even smell it.
But I like the taste of black
tea. So do I. I think it's fabulous.
I don't like coffee.
Right.
Nor any other form of tea.
Oh, my, yeah.
No, it's just black tea.
Just black tea.
Or nothing.
Gotcha.
Okay, so here's the message. They knew you were coming, pouring the drink. You pick up the empty cup.
Yes.
And there are 7 leaves.
Yes.
What do you think 7 represents?
You know, I was puzzling over that number.
I will tell you. 7, you know the 7-year itch?
Yes.
Okay. Is 2 Saturn cycles of 3.5. Saturn is a trouble.
Oh.
You know, Saturn is problem solving.
Okay.
So basically, the 7-year itch,
yes,
and the 7 leaves are talking about the image of you going through the process of, I'm taking it that a relationship went away.
Yes, there was the death of a relationship, a death of a long-term relationship.
Okay, and there's a new person.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But you still are vibrating off of the 2 7-year. How long was your first relationship?
13 years.
13.
Yeah.
Okay. So it didn't make it to 14.
No, it didn't.
Which would have been 4 Saturn cycles.
Right.
2 sevens is 14, right?
Right.
Okay. And 13 has been known to be numerically a signal for bad luck.
Yes.
All right. So here we go. They knew you were coming. They poured 7 bottom. The mind tells, look in the cup. You know the answer. Dad's mom says.
Yes.
And you have to go now. They know you're here. Don't take the same path. That was the same. Was that the mom's mom?
No, that was my
dad.
That
was still your dad's mom.
That was my father's mother, yes.
All right. Okay. So the message is don't take the same path. So you go out in the world and you're supposed to cross over and walk on the other side of the water.
Right.
So whatever you did,
yes,
in your first relationship,
yes,
don't do it again.
Gotcha.
Okay?
I got you. Yes, I do. And
because what this is saying is, you know the answer, Dad's mom. You have to go now a new way. Don't take the same
path.
Do you want to confess what the path was and how you're going to do it different?
The path was relinquishing who I was as a human being, losing the power of who I was as a human being and allowing myself...
You mean your dress got tattered?
My dress was torn to shreds. So I didn't really realize that I had lost me until I was consumed. I was consumed into the relationship. Instead of, and it wasn't that way in the beginning, it was a process. It was almost like a process of dying. But fortunately, the rebirth was harsh. But when I looked at it logically, then I realized that it was a gift.
No, when you looked at it energetically.
Yes.
When you looked at it implicitly.
Yes.
Do you see?
I realized it was actually...
illogically.
Yeah, it was actually a gift.
Absolutely.
It was a gift. And absolutely. It was a gift of getting me back and recovering myself, who I was as a person, not to be the same person, but to be a better me, somebody that I could love, because I don't think I loved myself before. And I think that's why I allowed myself to be assimilated into the void of the relationship. So
the forest.
Yeah. And I
could not see the forest for the trees.
Yes. And I was trepidous to step out of the forest.
So you crossed over and took a different path.
I did. And so when she told me in the dream, leave and don't take the same path.
Yes.
That's when I turned. I stepped out and I turned and I walked toward a different place, a different area, away. So not back the way I came. I didn't go back the way I came. And so I didn't complete leaving the area completely. I woke up before I did. And so I thought, I'm gonna have to dream this again.
Got to do a little Sonoy dream work.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
So why don't you write the story of the change in endings?
Okay, I could do that. I definitely could. Yeah. Now, the interesting thing about this dream is that whenever I would come to a point in my life where I felt I had something challenging or something
painful,
I would have this dream. And it's not always exactly the same. Sometimes they would say different things to me. Sometimes I would go and there would be treats sitting around every surface of the house, a pie in the window, a candy in the jar on the shelf.
Comfort food.
Yeah, different things like that. They never say words out loud. And the symbol is always the same on the door.
Yes.
And they always talk about they. They'll hear you, don't speak. They know you're here. You have to go now. And I was always confused by that. Why did it matter? Who are they? Why did it matter that they knew?
They are all, you do know, Carl Jung loved the idea of the collective unconscious.
Right.
That we all are part of a hydroponic pond of experience.
Right.
That we each have a private consciousness.
Right.
But the collective unconscious is the pool, the avatar pool. If you saw the movie Avatar, you
right.
saw
yes.
that concept demonstrated there. So what every contact you've ever had with any spirit,
right.
whether it be your guide or whether it be the people that you've known, have you not ever met somebody and knew you knew them?
Yes, I have.
Okay, well, those are people. Those are souls. You see, the soul never goes out of existence. The body does.
Right. But the energy,
the soul.
The energy,
yeah.
it never leaves.
Right.
And we can't destroy it.
And so for that reason, we keep coming back to go forward with our lesson. And as I was saying, we're God's ant farm. And he watches. Shim.
Right.
Watches. With fascination.
Right. Exactly.
You see? How we're doing. You know, I say, if you're in integrity about yourself.
Yes.
You have less bumps in the walls, stones in the river.
Right.
Because you're following your inner self.
Hey, we have a caller. You want to take a call?
Sure.
All right, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question?
My question, okay. My question is, if I don't want to be a cougar, but I'm attracted to and dating a man that is 20 years younger than me.
What would happen if the Aztecs did not do the calendar? All you would have would be energy. I just made a statement about energy is basically what we're attracted to. I'm so sad that you're putting a calendar ahead of energy. Is he over 18?
Yes, but he told me he was 23. Then he told me he was 21, and I found out he's 20, and I just turned 46.
Okay.
And I'm a very young 46, and he's a very mature 20. And we have chemistry, and we have communication, and I think we have compatibility minus the age factor. And I am very attracted to his energy. That's why I'm calling. He wants the same things I want. And some of the men who are my age are more Peter Pan, they're more little boys. So I live in near San Francisco, and they want to be kiteboarding, and they want to be skiing. And this guy's working 10 hours a day doing some blue-collar labor, looking at getting benefits for his family, talking about his family all the time, talking about he wants a dog.
What is your problem? It sounds like your problem is other people's opinions.
Yeah, well, and he looks, I look young for my age. I'm a yoga teacher, but he looks like 21 to 25, and I look 36 to 46.
Do you want me to give you permission to terminate based on the Aztec calendar?
I understand what you're saying about energy. We're attracted to energy, but
that's
what do you
what
mean
Aztec
about. Calendar?
That you do what?
I understand you say we're attracted
yes.
to energy, but what does it mean? What are you saying the Aztec calendar?
The Aztecs created the calendar. Do you know that?
Yes.
Okay. And you're talking about how many times you and he have gone around the sun. Right? Because
yeah.
that's all a calendar's for.
Right.
Now, we pay strict attention to calendars when it comes to under 18.
Right.
Right.
We're not into pedophilia here.
No.
Okay? And I'm not sure that marriage would be appropriate because at his age, he might want kids.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I still have a window for kids, and I want kids, and he talks about kids all the time. And so
do you want to marry him for as long as you can?
The answer is yes, but I'm very concerned about what my parents would think, what our friends would
wait
think.
A minute,
and when
wait
I
a minute.
Meet his
how,
parents,
how
I
old
think
are
I'm,
you?
I'm 46, and I think his mom is 46. I think she had him when she was 20.
Let me say this to you. If you care, I'm going to read something from Steve Jobs.
And while she's finding that, I'm just going to say this. Nobody knows how much time their dash has. In other words, between the date of your birth and the date of your death, what if you only have a month? What if you find out that he only has a month? What difference will it make if you were happy together?
I'm going to read
right.
this now. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living somebody else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking, moms and dads particularly. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voices. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition they somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary. Now, I want to ask you a question. What is your gut telling you to do with this young person? What?
My gut tells me that I'm doing the premature marriage thing, because I've only known him two and a half, three months. But we've been having continuity, like seeing each other 2 to 3 times a week. And also, we had sex without a commitment, but our last
interaction. So you're already married. You're already married. You are.
Yeah, exactly. And I get that's happening with my body. So I'm just taking a step back to breathe. And our last, I don't know, 4 or 5 interactions have been non-sexual, but a lot of touching and sweetness. So now the next piece is this communication of, like, the big age difference, or not even the big age difference, but do we really want the same things? Are we really compatible?
I want you to know that takes a lifetime to find out.
It does.
Do what you know is right, but don't do it for other people. Do it for yourself. If you're not comfortable with a young person because it may not last for a long time, then that's your way of taking care of you.
Right. Okay, right. Hold on. Just showed up at my door.
That's okay. We're out of time anyway, so...
Do what you know is right for you. Never mind other people's opinions. As long as you're moral, ethical, and legal, okay?
Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Dr. Allen, we're out of time. What have you got to say tonight?
What I've got to say is, basically, we have 3 things that we need. We need someone to love, something to do.
Yeah.
And something to look forward to.
Something to look forward to. Definitely. Thank you all so much for tuning in tonight and walking my journey with me, with Dr. Pat's help. We love you all. You can find us at www.drpatallen.com. Follow us on Facebook. Find Dr. Pat's brilliant products at www.wantistore.com. And come back and be with us next week.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.